pathos. Pathos, emotion. So it's impossible to convey, it's also silly to convey how transgressive this must be in academic, this was in an academic context. It's silly to convey because academic contexts shouldn't be taken all that seriously. They're ridiculous. But still, I destroyed, actually, I had no reputation. But if I had a reputation, it was destroyed then. But W had a reputation. And his reputation was ground into the dirt by the dogma presentations that we gave. We went to one of these philosophy conferences. And at these philosophy conferences, you expect to you know, have discussed the latest thought from France, the latest ideas from Germany, the freshest of ideas coming from overseas. Well, W and I decided to speak on our favourite novels and why we liked them. And we gave this talk, and of course it's ridiculous to report this before you now. It seems trivial. It seems like nothing at all. But we spoke on our favourite novels and why we liked them. And I spoke about working in Winnish Triangle, working in the Thames Valley, working in these dreadful jobs, and reading Kafka. And Kafka, for me, reading The Castle in my trivial job that I had, allowed me to see there was a world beyond the British standards that I was brought into the warehouse to enforce. The streamlining of factory procedures, the organisation of work in my company. Suddenly, a new vista was opened. And sitting there at Winnish Triangle Station, I thought, I'm going to go to university. I'm going to study philosophy. So that's what I said in my first dogma movement. And we continued it. And the novel records the different dogma presentations that there were. But the novel goes further. The novel dreams up fantasy presentations where W and I dance instead of speak, where we fight instead of speak, where we project behind us the word dereliction instead of speaking at all and sit there in front of this word dereliction sobbing. So that's the idea of dogma.
So that didn't actually happen.
No, it didn't get to that stage.
So I notice you are talking about W as a real person.
Mm.
And do you want to elaborate on that? I've read quite a few interesting... I've web-stalked you a bit, and there's one particularly interesting article talking about W, how he must be real, and yeah, how the novel must be an attack on him in a kind of... not quite passive-aggressive, but in a very... Lars's deadpan reportage of W's terrible insults are actually kicking back at W.
Yeah, I think that's put very well. I mean, the review you refer to is by David Auerbach. It's the Quarterly Review review. And in that review, you know, David Auerbach reveals who W really is. It's not exactly hard to find. He even tells us that he emailed W, or the real W, to find out what W thought about how he presented the novels. But I think there's something missing from David Auerbach's account. And what he doesn't see, I think, and I'll put this to him if I meet him, as I might well do quite soon, what I'll put to him is that in England, you know, our friendships are often marked by a taking the piss. You know, this is an idiomatic expression. I'm not sure how we could replace this expression. We could say satirizing. Satirizing is not the right word. Taking the piss seems to me to be the right expression. But taking the piss out of someone is giving them a certain degree of attention, is taking them, oddly enough, seriously in some way. It's noticing something about them which is sufficient to mark what's special about them to you. Now, on the blog Spurious, from which these books come, I used to record the way in which W insulted me. I did so in order to take the piss out of W, because I also used to include the grandly overinflated claims that W would make. So I did this as a mark of affection. David Auerbach would have it that, you know, I'm getting my own back, and that my deadpanning as a narrator is a way of exacting a cruel revenge.